Make sure it works now that I tested it. There we go. Good morning and welcome to Engage Church. I want you to know that I'm excited to be in the presence of the Lord with each and every one of you today. My name is Pastor Mike, and it is my honor and my privilege to bring the Word of God. Today we're continuing on in our sermon series of giving generously. And in this series, we are discovering what God's vision is for our church in 2024. What is His vision for our church, and what is the direction that He wants to lead us as long as we're willing to follow? 2 weeks ago, it would have been last week, but 2 weeks ago, we discussed the foundation of generosity, and that's a heart of generosity. So at the foundation is the heart, and we have to have a heart of generosity before we can get on to these other building blocks. That all giving, everything that we do, comes from and out of the condition of our heart. That the Holy Spirit is the only one who can help us truly form a heart of generosity. And He's the one that gives out of the abundance. So today we're going to add a brick to that foundation as we talk about service to and in the church and how it's valuable and how it adds a brick to that foundation of giving generously and how it all is time well spent. Listen, serving the body of Christ is never a waste of time. We're set up for a year of growth. I truly believe it. You look around, you look at how many new faces. You've got it in your packet. You'll read it, the pastor's letter. We've been doing this now for a year. Out of the 11 people who are families, not people, families, 9 out of the 11 are still in attendance today. Thank you, Ruth. I would say amen to that. So we are set up for a year of growth. We're set up for a year of advancement and a year that, depending on how we respond to this series, how we look at it and how we respond to it, this can be a defining moment that we get to look back on and say, this is when it all started. You look at the history of our church. Go back to when we were having tent services. I wasn't even born yet. But everybody can go back to that moment. If Dal and Patty were here, Dal and Patty could talk about going and being in that tent as this church was started. This can be that same moment where 40 years from now, I say, listen, this is when it all started. It's all based on how we decide to respond to it. My prayer has been that you are as excited about it as I am. Excitement breeds what? Excitement, right? And I hope and I pray that you are ready to see God's vision poured out and carried out on this church body. So this morning, let me invite you to open your Bibles. I hope that you have one or someone next to you has one that has their Bible that they will share with you. Open your Bible this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. This is a very short verse, but this is a starting. There's going to be several references that come after this, but this is going to be the main part of our scripture today. And if you don't have your Bible, don't worry. I'll have it here on the overhead right behind me. And I am reading from the English Standard Version, so my version may be a little bit different than yours. Mark 10, verse 45, it says this. Are we all there? I still hear pages turning. We good? Okay. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, through selflessness, came to serve, and He came to willingly give His very life to pay for what? Our sin. The debt of our sin. In fact, throughout the New Testament, we'll see this service, these examples of how Jesus served as He was here. We're going to look at a few of those today, but as we look at how Jesus served, know this, we can also be encouraged to serve. We can be encouraged to serve through His service. I'm just going to show the whole list here. It's the scripture references. You can write this down. You can take a picture of it. You can go read it later, as long as you can see it or get your camera zoomed into it enough. The first one is John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. This is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. What we know about this is that Jesus humbly washed the feet of his disciples. In doing so, he demonstrated a what? A servant's heart. This act symbolized humility, because who wants to wash feet? If you came last year, we did our Easter series. We met every night at 7 p.m. in the fellowship hall and went through what they call Passion Week leading up to Easter. And the night that we read about washing feet, we washed one another's feet. And it's not a lot of fun, right? It takes some humility to wash somebody's foot. So the act symbolized humility, selflessness, and a willingness to perform even the lowliest task to serve others. The second one is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, Jesus healing the sick. We see this all throughout the New Testament Gospels. Jesus frequently healed the sick. And through this, he was showing compassion for those in their physical need. His healing ministry demonstrates the use of personal time and energy to bring relief and restoration to others. Next one is Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. When faced with a large crowd, this is Jesus feeding the 5,000. When faced with a large crowd in need of food, Jesus took the time to miraculously multiply a small amount of food to feed thousands. This miracle illustrates Jesus' concern for people's practical needs and his ability to provide abundantly. Listen, he knows your need this morning. He knows how to provide that this morning. Mark chapter 1 and Matthew, Mark chapter 1 verse 35, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, teaching and discipling. Jesus invested significant time in teaching and discipling his followers. A lot of time spent with his disciples. It was his commitment to imparting wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual guidance that reflects to us today the importance of investing our time in the growth and the development of others. So who does this cover? This covers all of our teachers. Anybody who has a teaching capacity. David this morning had all the kids this morning because we had somebody not be able to make it last minute for teaching their Sunday school class. David, this morning you took time to invest in the growth and the development of these kids into the next generation. And when we do this, it builds the foundation and it adds to the stability of the future church. Next one is Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. This is Jesus interacting with children. Jesus welcomed and blessed children, emphasizing the value of even the youngest members of society. And I believe this morning we have a... Kimberly, how old is he? Your newborn? We have a 9-day-old in service this morning. Jesus emphasized the value of even that 9-year-old. Or nine-day-old baby. He's growing really fast, Kimberly. Hang on. His interaction with children showcases the importance of investing time in nurturing and caring for the vulnerable. And then this one, not necessarily specific event from the Gospels, but it emphasizes Jesus' ultimate act of service. And this comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. His ultimate act of service is what? His sacrificial death on the cross. His death on the cross. Jesus willingly gave his life for the salvation of humanity. Not just those of us here today, but all of humanity, if they would respond to his message. What this does is it illustrates the profound depth of his love and service to his people. Our last reference this morning is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and this is compassion for the outcast. This morning in Sunday school, we learned about serving and loving our neighbor and how we treat our neighbor and who is our neighbor and how that even means that a stranger that you meet on the side of the road could be your neighbor. But Jesus here is the compassion for the outcast. It's Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was a social outcast. Why was he a social outcast? He was a tax collector. I don't know. We're getting ready to send all of our money to the IRS. I don't know how many of us would like Zacchaeus today. But Jesus had compassion on him. By spending time with Zacchaeus, Jesus showed that no one is beyond the reach of his love and his transformative power. These are examples of Jesus' service to his people. Listen, as blood-bought believers, listen, if you profess the name of Jesus, if you believe that he died and rose again and you call him Savior and Lord, you are a blood-bought believer. Can we all agree to that this morning? That is the foundation of Christianity. So you are a blood-bought believer if that is you. Each of us, every single one of us in here today has the same capability to serve the way Jesus served. It requires reliance on the Holy Spirit because without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we're trying to do it on our own and that will fail. But through the reliance on the Holy Spirit, with His empowerment, we will be able to do things that we never thought we would be able to do. We can serve through the Holy Spirit's empowerment. If we model our service after Jesus's, we look at the examples, we see selflessness and we see compassion. So if we model our service after Jesus' selflessness and compassion, it will surely lead us into His vision for our church in 2024, which is where I pray that we all desire to be. I don't want to be outside of His vision for this church. I don't want to go so far off that I'm trying to chase A, B, and C when He says He wants D, E, and F. But my ear's not listening because I'm so focused here. I want us to fall exactly where He's calling us to be. I heard this around the time of my credentialing, and I think that it fits here. The church is Christ's bride. We are Christ's bride. Not this building, the people. We are Christ's bride. Let us be who He calls us to be, not who we desire to be. Let us be who He calls us to be, not who we desire to be. Now, we have many people in the church who serve, and who serve abundantly. Many who serve in dual roles, and even, I don't know what the word for three is after dual, but listen, we have people who serve in many, many roles, and for that I want to take a moment and say I thank you. And in fact, if you are one of those who serve in any capacity this morning, dual, single, whatever, would you please applaud for yourself this morning for the service that you bring the church? Seriously, come on. If you serve, here's the challenge, though. Maintaining our status quo, where we're at, staying comfortable with where we're at, it doesn't get us to God's vision. It does not bring God's vision into engaged church if we are unwilling to respond to what He's calling us to. I saw this post on Facebook the other day, and I thought it was really good, and I was trying to figure out how to incorporate it, and well, this is where I'm going to incorporate it. It was a picture of a cruise ship, and there's a picture of a battleship. God's church is not a cruise ship where you go and relax and others serve you. But rather, it is a battleship, and everybody has a role or responsibility on that battleship. What's our role? What's our role? We cannot become consumers of the church. We cannot come where we're just come to be served and to feel good, but rather, like, that comes, but it comes through service. Listen, this is going to require all of us to dig deep. It's going to require us to be generous with our time, generous with our service towards the body of Christ. If we're just going to sit back and we wait for somebody else to do it, or we wait for God to bring another family in or somebody else to come in and do it, we will be in this exact same spot next year. We will not have marched forward with the vision that God has for our church. So church, we have to dig deep. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require selflessness. It's going to require giving our time and service to see our church thrive. I want to share a few practical examples this morning. This is just a window of a few items that we need in our church currently. There's much more, but listen, we got to start somewhere. And so we're going to start with these few practical examples of how you can be involved in the church. Now, disclaimer, do I want to put you where you don't belong? No. Why? Because that sets you up for failure, right? If you are an introvert and you don't like to smile and greet and shake somebody's hand when they come into the church, you're probably not the right person to be a greeter. Can we agree to that this morning? That would be a very awkward hello, wouldn't it? Right? It's not going to work. So I don't want to put you in a spot where you're not going to thrive in. So we want to find a place to make you thrive. We want to find a place that you can flourish in. And in doing so, you are serving the church and helping bring about God's vision for 2024. So here's a few of those practical examples. Our Sunday kids ministries. That's been a need for a year and a half. We need 1 to 2 people to fill a set week and or to be a substitute when someone cannot teach. The thing that I dislike the most, I'm not going to use hate because hate's a really bad word, but or it's a strong word, I don't hate, but I really dislike having to stand up here on Sunday mornings to announce once again it's a family Sunday because we lack someone to teach. Because we lack someone to go upstairs with the kids. When we only have kids ministries once or twice a week or once or twice a month because we don't have enough leaders. Listen, when new families come in, trust me when I tell you, when they have small children that qualify to be in kids ministry and we don't have it, they take note. They take note of our lack of ability and consistency to minister to their kids. And church, I promise that that hurts us. Our goal is to have kids service every Sunday besides fifth Sundays. The next practical spot, we need 2 to 3 greeters every Sunday. We need greeters to greet our regulars and to greet and help lead our visitors. When visitors come in, no one to open the door, no one to say hi, no one to point them in the direction where they need to go, if they need to drop kids off to nursery or where to hang their coats even. Where's the bathroom at? Listen, I believe that not having greeters is a missed opportunity to infect someone with a contagious smile when you open the door for them. We need 2 to 3 greeters every Sunday. We need 2 more trained sound people. At a minimum, we need 2 more trained people. 1 for backup and 1 for a regular rotation. Now, I think that we can all agree on the importance of the soundboard, right? Without the soundboard, does this happen, Stacy? Not well, right? This doesn't happen. That's going to be fun for anybody who listens online. It doesn't happen without a soundboard. Without Norm back there running it, or Johnny, or Arvin. We need another 1 to 2 people trained for that. And our goal is to do rotations. And by doing rotations, here's what it does. It reduces your commitment. And it gives you opportunity to serve and give you a different scenery. I don't just want greeters. I need somebody who wants to greet and maybe wants to do this. But the whole point is, and listen, these are opportunities to serve. But listen when I tell you this, you are not a volunteer. We do not volunteer in the church. We serve the church. And so we're going to pass around a sign-up. What this sign-up is, listen, this is not commitment. This is interest. If you are interested in any of the three things, or you have an interest somewhere else that I didn't announce, because listen, I can find, we've got everything everywhere that I can find a place for everybody in this church to serve. Write your name on the second sheet, write your email, your phone number, and an area of interest. And listen, this is not a commitment. We will follow up with a meeting with those who sign up, and we will get a plan in place. We'll do skills assessment. We will find where to plug you into the church so we can successfully move about the business and the direction of the church this year. But also, you need to know, once we get enough people, I want to have quarterly updates. What does this mean? That means once a quarterly, I said that right. Boy, I confused myself there. I want to have a quarterly meeting where if you have discovered that I don't fit here, you have a way out. I want us to have an exit strategy before we have an entry strategy, because I don't want people to say no because they think they're going to be locked in to this area of service in the church. So, I can't stress it enough. The sign-up is interest only. Please take time, look through it, sign it, put your name on it, and I will follow up with you, and we will start the discussions of next steps. There's a couple of things on there as well that when you get it around, I have a current and I have a future. Here's a couple of things that I want to see launched this year. Guess what? If we all step in and we all carry this load, these are things that we can actually bring about. But the first is I want to see a welcoming committee that is member-led put together. What is a welcoming committee? A welcoming committee is going to be a member-led group that makes contact and delivers small gift to visitors. It is not pastor-run. It's not me going and knocking on visitors' doors. Here's why. Because it makes it less intimidating when just random person shows up versus pastor of the church who stood up here and preached knocks on their door. And it also allows for church relationships to develop. Not every relationship can be built with me, can it? Look to your left and look to your right. Congratulations, this is the body of Christ. This is your family. And then the next thing I want to try to launch this year is on Wednesday nights, I want to see somebody take my spot in supporting Alicia with Engage Kids. It's her and I and Vicky and Ruth currently that serve Engage Kids on Wednesday nights. And I'm there just to support. I'm there to be on sound. Somehow I've taken on the mantra of sound guy that came from camp, so anytime I mess up, they holler sound guy because I've done something wrong. But I need somebody to come in and to take this spot and support Alicia in Engage Kids so I can focus on a midweek new believers class or a midweek adult discipleship class where we can come together, we can worship, we can pray, and we can grow in our faith together. My hope is that this is a way that we can get people plugged in and set up for success in their relationship with Jesus. With this vision of giving generously for our church in 2024, we have to put our best foot forward. If we want visitors, listen, if you want visitors to become regular attendees and you want regular attendees to become members, we must show them who we are. We must show them what we're capable of, what we are about, that we care about them, and that we take pride in our services. Is it okay if I go off script? I'm going off script. If the wind blows on Saturday night and you get to church before I do and you see a pile of snow in front of the door, guess what? It's okay for you to grab a shovel. You don't have to wait for me to get here to grab the shovel and do it, okay? You follow? We have to take pride in our outward appearance. If we leave piled snow, I was out there spreading salt this morning because I wasn't sure out here, but we have like a 3-foot overhang on this back door. Like the way the wind was blowing, that thing's going to come crashing down at some time this week. Just be careful. Don't slam the door so you don't cause an avalanche, okay, Vicky? But we got to take pride in how we appear, in our services, how we put everything together. And listen, I know this is not a fun sermon. I know this is hard to hear. But it requires us to have a look at our calendars and start having tough conversations and making tough decisions. Well, Alicia and I have to look at our calendar and we have to decide what we want to do. What do we want to take part in? What can we attend? Knowing what our weeks look like with ministry. Listen, ministry for me does not stop from 9 and 2. That's not just my office hours, okay? I drive the bus, AM and PM, and then I'm on call 24/7. I might be called to go visit somebody because they got hurt or they're sick or they've got a loved one that is passing. Whatever it may be, I am on call. So we don't know. Sometimes ministry happens, right? And that's okay. That's why we're here. That's what we want to do. But to assume, and if you have the thought, please don't take this offensively, but if you think that I can handle everything on my own because I hold the office of pastor, because you put me on staff at your body, listen, I will disappoint you 100% of the time. I will fail you 100% of the time. Because I cannot. I cannot do it. If you expect the church to grow, if you expect to see programs grow, you cannot expect myself and Alicia to be the ones to do it all. It takes each and every one of you to help. And listen, I don't want you to be disappointed with me. I'm sure somebody's disappointed in hearing this sermon, and I'm really sorry. Take it up with God. This is His message, not mine. Okay? But listen, here's the truth of it. Jesus Himself didn't do ministry on His own. Did He? Who did He have with Him? His disciples. So if Jesus had people to help Him in ministry, can't we join together and serve Christ's joy? Christ's church in ministry. Because when we do, listen, there is enrichment, there is blessing, and there is benefit to serving the body of Christ. This morning I've asked three individuals to come up and to share their experiences of service in the church. And so Alicia, if you would come up, then Dave, and then I'll Stacy will finish with you. And when Dave comes up here, I'd like everybody to notice that he wore a button-up shirt with a sport coat. He's outdressed for me today. And
so he asked me to share about serving, and I couldn't really pinpoint one moment. Yellow. I'm on yellow. Okay. I couldn't really pinpoint one moment. It's been a journey. So my journey kind of started as a teen. I was asked to help out on our leadership. And that kind of catapulted my heart for ministry. As I stepped into a leadership role, I was called to a higher standard. At that point, I was sold out for Jesus, and I was bought into the ministry of my peers. It was a confidence and faith builder. I was relatively new in my walk with the Lord at that time, and this stretched me way beyond my comfort zone. I was expected to pray with other girls in the youth group. Now, I'm an introvert, so that was really hard. As I continued to serve and pray and seek the Lord, He continued to stir my heart. I went on missions trips. I attended every church function that I could. I jumped at every opportunity to be involved. I ran projector and sound for youth. I prayed with peers. I led a youth small group. I helped start a Bible study at my high school. It was all through this that God continued to place a call of ministry on my heart. Now, over the next decade, we had young kids. I had a husband who worked way too many hours and was not home very much. And so I filled in wherever I could. I was in nursery. I served on the board for 3 years. What else did I do? I don't remember. Oh, I worked on the website. There were lots of things. Now, fast forward to a year and a half ago. God was calling me back out of my comfort zone. I stepped into that call. I was incredibly nervous. I had no idea how I was going to do it. It wasn't going to be on my own strength. I stepped out into the call and led our Wednesday night kids ministry. Remember, I'm an introvert. getting in front of a room of kids and trying to be engaging and exciting, not me, okay? But I couldn't ignore what God was calling me to do. Once again, he stretched me. He gave me confidence. 2 weeks ago, God told me to teach adult Sunday school. Okay, I was okay with kids. Now you're putting me in front of a room full of adults. That, again, stretched me way beyond my comfort zone. But guess what? I said yes, and I survived, and it was okay. So, all of that to say that that's a great reminder of when God calls us to serve, he gives us the confidence and the strength to do it. I encourage you to pray, to seek him, ask him where he wants you to be serving. I promise you won't regret it. It may not be in your comfort zone. He might stretch you a little bit. You'll be okay. When he stretches you, you grow. Your faith grows, your confidence grows, and it becomes easier to say yes to the things that God calls you to do.
I got a little page here because I scribbled some notes. Now, Pastor Mike sent me that text message and said, you know, share a little bit. Okay, fine. Then he sends me another note, says, only take a couple minutes, all right? Well, I'm a truck driver. Ever been around a group of trucks? We got some truck drivers in this room. And it's a hard thing to say just a little. But let me tell you about my service, okay? I've had the opportunity to serve in a number of different capacities, whether in this church or other churches. Sunday school, leading worship, teaching Sunday school, greeting. You know, I even did pulpit fill for a short while. And let me tell you, she just talked about stretching us, but it causes you to concentrate and reflect and study. I've never taught a Sunday school lesson to any of these kids, any time that I've taught, that I didn't have to apply to myself first. You put yourself into it when you're leading music. And let me tell you, one of the most difficult jobs in this church is preparing to lead worship. And maybe sometimes we'd worship every Sunday. It's taxing. It takes time. It takes time with the Holy Spirit. But it's fulfilling. And you don't have to be perfect. We've got a lot of new faces sitting here, okay? You don't have to be perfect. I'm the least perfect person sitting in this place, all right? And sometimes when you're serving, God will meet you in your trouble spots, okay? He will. And he'll teach you. And this is vitally important. This is vitally important because you become, because everything builds together. And Mike asked me to tell you why it's important. Well, it's important because touching lives is important. Have you ever heard of the butterfly effect? Have you heard of the butterfly effect? Okay, I wrote this down. The butterfly effect rests on the notion that the world is deeply interconnected such that one small occurrence could affect a much larger outcome, right? The idea is that a butterfly, just by flapping its wings, could start a typhoon. It's a building effect, right? It's the butterfly effect. Someone you touch will touch somebody else. I want to try to wrap this up real briefly here. When I was younger, I was working at Vermeer, and I was part of a group of guys at night. And we were a good time bunch. I mean, we were living life large. We had fun 24. We had fun in our sleep. We had fun coming to work. And there's stories into that. But you know, down the line from me a little bit, there was a guy that went to this church whose position was to witness to people. And he was an irritation, okay? You know, gosh, here comes Tim again, all right? Well, guess what? Tim's wings were flapping. And what happened? I found myself at an altar in this church one night. The last Sunday of April, 1978. And on Monday morning, after we'd had a pretty good time all weekend, I carried my Bible into Vermeer for second shift. And a couple years later, a guy that I worked close to and promoted well up into the line at Vermeer said, you know, the place stopped when you carried that Bible into the door, right? The butterfly effect. Somebody affected Tim's life, and Tim's life affected my life, and you touch life after life after life. It never ends. And you never have to be perfect, and you never have to worry about what somebody else says, because if God tells you to serve, He's asking you to serve regardless of your inabilities or your imperfections, okay? He calls you to serve. The life you touch might touch somebody else. And the last thing on that, I remember about 30 years after, it's been about 10 years ago, I was walking into the post office. And I met a lady in the community, and, you know, just, I knew her from when I was this tall growing up. And she said, you know, Dave, I remember when you got saved, and she's never been to this church. I doubt she's ever been inside of this church, right? I remember when you got saved. I'd never spoken to this lady in those times. But the butterfly effect. What happened to me affected other people. You know why your service is important? Why it's important for you to get involved? Because you're going to touch somebody. And that person is going to grow and they're going to touch somebody. And your experience, however insignificant you may think it is, we have a community that is interconnected, lives touching lives. I don't know who you may see in a given day, but you know what? A word that you might have to that person, whether outside or working within these walls, is going to have an impact. It's the butterfly effect. Each one of you here has the ability to flap your wings and start a typhoon. Your service is important. Thank you.
So I'll start here with my service when I started attending this church. And I came here and love to help Joel on worship, on the worship team. I also had a desire to just engage and help with children. So I was able to connect with the children's ministries in the church because being a teacher, I enjoyed doing that. And it's awesome to see Sean and Jenna here because I mean years of just being able to help pour into those children and serving in that ministry, whether it was on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, became just an awesome opportunity to also build relationships and connections with families, not just in our church, but in our community. And then I was asked to start leading some worship services, and fear is what held me back. It was unknown. It was uncomfortable. I was okay with helping, but taking that lead role that the Lord was laying on my heart, I found myself hesitating. I remember one Sunday in particular where I felt God whisper to lead worship, and all I could say is, not without you, Lord. I had to stop believing the lies that I was not good enough and keep my focus on Him and keep my identity found in Him. I wanted to go where He was leading me. I wanted to obey and follow Him. I wanted to give Him all the glory. For all of that belongs to the Lord. So it has definitely, as I've stepped into different roles, deepened my reliance on the Lord. It's deepened my desire for the Holy Spirit to lead me. It's allowed me to focus on God and His Word and leaning not on my own understanding of what is comfortable, but knowing that He's leading through me. It's brought connection within the church body, which is a huge blessing to be able to be leading with others in our church who have a desire to use their gifts for the Lord. And there's peace when you're in God's will. There's peace to be where He's calling you. So I'm going to end with my life verse because it's been on my heart a lot of just Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, of trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. Don't try to understand it, but just trust Him. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So it's my prayer and my hope that God would direct our steps according to His Word and His will.
Thank you for those of you who served or shared testimony this morning. I'd also like to point out that we have numerous teens that are serving our church through projector and then through worship and then also helping with Sunday morning kids ministry. And so listen, service doesn't have an age. So kids, if you have a calling, I want to hear that calling and I want to help you put that calling into place, okay? So my hope today is that these stories encourage each of us to take that next step into generous serving and serving the body of Christ. And I've got a question. It's kind of a rhetorical question, but it's almost a shocking question to ask. If your family is hurting or your family is in need, do you help them? Kind of a silly question to ask, doesn't it? Of course you do. Well, guess what? This is your family. This church is your family. We need you. Our kids need you. Our worship team needs you. Our sound, our projector team needs you. And most importantly, our visitors need you. Our church needs you. If you aren't serving generously as Christ did, as many consistently are, I would encourage you to look at that because we need you. The body of Christ needs you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Listen, there is a place for you in Engaged Church. Because engaging our community for Jesus requires all of us. Each of us, through our service, can and will have an impact. You have a gift, I have a gift. And if we all put our gifts together and we use them, we step into the vision that the Lord has for our church in 2024. And you can be confident in knowing that it was time well spent. If you would you bow your eyes or bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? Listen, this is a conversation between just you and me, and really you could just remove me. It's a conversation between you and the Lord. Jesus Himself sets the standard for service to others. He demonstrates pure selflessness throughout His life and even on the cross. He died so that you may be forgiven, that we may be reconciled to the Father, and that we no longer carry around the weight of our debt from our sins. Listen, His death on the cross, it wiped it away. When He goes and He pulls up your account, it says paid in full. It's got that big old stamp on it that says paid in full, initialed God's name. We have no condemnation, and we can experience freedom in Jesus because of Jesus. Now listen, it's only by a relationship with Jesus that we get to experience all of this. If you want to have that relationship, maybe this is your first time, you've never said and realized that you need a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've said it years ago, and this is just in a fresh way saying, Lord Jesus, I need to come back into your presence. Please forgive me. Listen, Jesus is the only way to the Father. So if that's you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody is looking at you. You don't have to wonder if anyone's going to see you. If that is you and you want to respond this morning, would you please just raise your hand? Just keep it up for a second. Put it back down. Anybody else this morning? Church, I'm going to invite you to say this prayer with me. Now listen, this prayer has no bearing on your response from raising your hand right now. It is the condition of your heart. It is understanding that before the Lord you are nothing, that you need Him. So it's about the heart and approaching Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. It's not these words. These words don't save, only Jesus does. Church, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I know that I am a sinner and I fall short. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. I accept that this morning. He is now my Lord and my Savior. And I believe that He rose from the dead on the third day. From this moment on, I commit my life to you. Use me, change me, stretch me, challenge me, and may all the glory be yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Church, there's a party in heaven. We had one person raise their hand this morning and say, I need to be at the foot of the cross this morning. So for the one that raised your hand, your life from this moment can be completely changed. As Dave shared, the choices that you make going forward, they matter. Find yourself at the foot of the cross. Find yourself in His Word. Find yourself seeking Him more. And I'm trying not to make eye contact because I'm not trying to call anybody out. It matters what you do. It matters what you do. And I praise the Lord for your courage to raise your hand this morning and to respond to Him. I just need you to hear this. There are angels in heaven celebrating over you this morning because your willingness to say, I need Lord Jesus. So church, we're gonna close this down. We're going to wrap it up. But here's how I want to wrap it up. It's really hard to have an altar call for a sermon on serving the church, to serve. And listen, here's how I want to close. How we respond to this message will absolutely impact our church. It will absolutely impact our community. What will our response be? Each of us get to decide that today. As we close, as always, the altars are open. I want to encourage all of us in here to first seek God. Ask for His direction and listen. And as the worship team leads us in a song, I want to pray with you. If you need prayer, I would just invite you to come up. I want to pray with you. If you're here just to seek God, hey, listen, seek God, but I still want to pray with you. And I'll leave you with this. Can we give our time generously to serve the body of Christ? Thank you.